Proverbs 31, please follow as I read for us, beginning in verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all." Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Folks, as we continue our time in a sermon series all to do with focusing on the family, we've come to that dreaded passage for many ladies, the excellent wife. And as the years have passed by, there is a word that has become so despised, and it is a word that many have tried in our society to redefine. The word is housewife. In our day to day, that has become a term which people are ashamed of. And as a result, people have tried to rename it home engineer, or maybe home executive being another. Yet interestingly, folks, God despises the world's shame of that term, and instead from His Word, our Bible, we come to realize that in God's opinion, there is no higher position of stature and praise than that of a woman who gives herself as a servant for the good of her husband, her children, and her home. Remember, Jesus Christ Himself declared, "The greatest among you shall be your servant." You see, the world will look upon the term with disdain, but what the world looks upon as being a most demeaning position of all is actually held in the highest esteem by God. Now, before you jump to the conclusion that this is a sermon where a woman must be found nothing other than barefoot, pregnant, and in the kitchen, that's not the case. Wait, I'm going to show you, I believe you will be shocked when we look at the truths that are unraveled for us in this wonderful portion of Scripture. But ladies, you might also be muttering under your breath right now, Proverbs 31, how I hate it. I wonder how the men would feel if there was a Proverbs 32. Yeah, it's all about the excellent husband. Or how would it be if they had this Superman held up, which woman could compare them to? Well, actually, I can sympathize with you because I have a passage in Scripture. Pastor Mark has a passage in Scripture. Pastor Haraman has a passage in Scripture where we too live in a fishbowl for everyone to measure. It's called 1 Timothy chapter 3, the qualifications of an elder. So we know what this is like for you ladies. But actually, I believe you will be encouraged. God never intended Proverbs 31 to be a whipping block. God never included Proverbs 31 into his scriptures for the purpose of crushing you. Proverbs 31 was given to encourage you. But before I go on, God never intended you to meet and match the point for point of the Proverbs 31 woman. Everything listed in the Proverbs 31 woman is a purpose, it's a pattern. And it's a pattern of godliness, it's a pattern of industrialism, it's a pattern of devotion which every woman can follow. And men, just in case you're sitting back and thinking, okay, Pastor Tiny, preach it. Sa! Sick 'em. No, that's not going to happen. In fact, you need to be taking some notes on what needs to unfold here. This is a sermon where you and I, men, we need to pay attention because we need to search out, what am I doing that is hindering my wife from being the excellent wife? What am I not doing to encourage her to be the excellent wife? And also, can I say for you young single men, this is the best dating book you could ever purchase, Proverbs 31. Because it works like this. If you're looking at a lady who sets the forest on fire because she's so hot as she walks by, and she's got none of this that we're going to look at, then you need to run a mile. This is the best dating tip you will ever get. But if I were to summarize Proverbs 31 into one phrase, I would say it's an art gallery. It's an art gallery because Proverbs 31 is where we will get to see several portraits on display. And in particular, I want to share with us three portraits. Three portraits that are on display as we enter into the art gallery of Proverbs 31. We're going to see the portrait of a godly character. We're going to see the portrait of a joyful labor. And we're going to see the portrait of a devotion to her home. And if you and I enter into this museum, as it were, into this art gallery, you will know that there is always a guidebook. As you walk into whatever establishment you're going to, you find a guidebook. And the guidebook of Proverbs 31 is Proverbs 31 verse 10. Look with me one more time at Proverbs 31 10. Because this is our display guide. Proverbs 31 verse 10, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. You see, our guidebook immediately teaches us two truths about the portraits that we're going to view. Firstly, an excellent wife is hard to come by, but not impossible. Hard to come by, yes, if you're going to insist on her doing exactly what the Proverbs 31 woman does, but not impossible when you understand the Proverbs 31 is a divine pattern for women to follow and for men to encourage and not be a stumbling block as women follow. But then secondly, we get to see an excellent wife when you recognize her because of the divine pattern of godly character, divine pattern of joyful labor, divine pattern of devotion to family, then you must know she is priceless. And I don't want us to miss the word excellent either. In this tour guide of Proverbs 31:10, we mustn't miss the word excellent. Because it is a Hebrew word, it's a term that was used to describe the battle-tried and tested warriors of a society. And those were the men who were esteemed highly by all who were in society. Why? Because society, because of their valiant warrior efforts, could go about their day in a relative peace and with an absolute ease. God looks upon the woman who is showing a godly character, a joyful labor, and a devotion to her family as being equal to those warriors who make it possible for you and I to live a peaceful life. You see, in God's eyes, a woman devoted to her husband, a woman devoted to her children and her home, she is held by God in the same esteem as that valiant warrior who is honored by society. So with all of that by way of our guidebook, let's look at the first portrait. Let's look at the first portrait of the excellent wife portrayed in her godly character. Now we're going to jump around in Proverbs 31 because this is a topical sermon, all right? So we're not going to go through it meticulously verse by verse, but the excellent wife portrayed in her godly character. I want us to see five elements of a godly character which are found interspersed in Proverbs 31. Look at the first one, which is in verse 11. The first element of a godly character is trustworthiness. Proverbs 31:11. The heart of her husband trusts her, and he will have no lack of gain. Now remember, folks, whenever you're in the Old Testament, when you see the word heart, that normally refers to, you can't be dogmatic about this, but in the context, it normally refers to the mind, the thinking. And the husband, in this instance, is always thinking that he can trust his wife. The heart of her husband, the thinking of her husband, trusts in her. And he's thinking that he can trust her not because she's perfect, but because she's diligent in doing whatever she does for the good of himself and her children. So he has no lack of gain. So the first element of a godly character is trustworthiness. Husbands, trust your wife. She does have your best interest at heart. She does have the best interest of your children at heart. And you will find when you begin to just trust, then that will once again be a comfort to you. But how do you find trust coming back into a relationship? Because maybe after last week's sermon, you've realized things are a bit strained. You're in this roommate environment as opposed to being in a marriage. Well, trust is reestablished into a marriage relationship through faithfulness. Not faithfulness one to the other as husband and wife and wife to husband, but faithfulness to the Lord. Wives, when you see your husband praying, leading your family in thanksgiving at the mealtime, your trust in him will be reestablished because of his faithfulness to the true and living God who loves him to the nth degree. And vice versa, husbands, when you see your wife praying, when you see her in the Word of God, when you see her living out godliness, you can trust her. Because she is serving the true and living God. She is doing everything as unto the Lord. Encourage her. But there is a second element of godly character. Trustworthiness is the first. The second we find in verse 16 and following. In verse 16 we find the second element of prudence. Look at verse 16. Proverbs 31. She, the excellent wife, considers a field. She contemplates it. Decides, okay, this is good, and she buys it. And from her earnings of buying that field, she actually doesn't just leave it in fallow, she plants a vineyard. And look at verse 18. She senses that her gain is good and her lamp does not go out at night. You see, folks, for us to have, or our wives in particular, to have a godly character, the element of prudence, there are two things. She needs to handle her money well, and we see that in the Proverbs 31 woman, but she most importantly needs to plan ahead. She considers a field, she plans ahead, that's a place that a vineyard's going to be planted, and she plants the vineyard, and she senses that her gain is good, and guess what? Her lamp does not go out at night. She's planned ahead. But also, you find her planning ahead in verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Now, this word scarlet, I must confess, it got me going, and I had to go back and look at men who are far better versed in the Hebrew than I am. Actually, it's a word that is difficult to define. But what I did find was an interesting definition by MacArthur, and it's this, that actually the word scarlet, the Hebrew word that's been translated scarlet, could be translated double thickness. And in the context of a woman not being afraid of the snow, of the cold, why? She knows her family are clothed in double thickness. She's planning ahead. See, the principle of prudence, the element of prudence in a godly character is handling whatever has been entrusted to her by way of good stewardship, that includes money, and thinking ahead for the family good. But there is a third element of a godly character we find in verse 20, and that's generosity. We have seen trustworthiness, we have seen prudence, and now we get to see generosity as that third element of a godly character. Proverbs 31, verse 20. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hand to the needy. Certainly, folks, her focus is always first and foremost on her husband and her family. But she is also sensitive to the needs of her neighbor. And she's always watching out for the needs of others. I'm so thankful. This church family is blessed with women who show this in the nth degree. If I could say this, folks, our ladies are not lacking in this. Because every time we, as a church family, voice a need, we meet that need, be it the Loretti's moving in for a furlough. And you know, I'm no fool. As much as the men might put it all together, behind every good man, there is an excellent woman. And so we get to see trustworthiness, prudence, and generosity. But there is a fourth element of godly character, strength and stability. Verse 25, Proverbs 31, verse 25. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. Can I just say, in the context of the day that this was written, Proverbs 31, in the time of Solomon, woman had to be physically strong. They had to be able to fetch and carry water, assist in plowing a field, dealing with the hard and manual labor of making a home and feeding a family. Now, I don't want to embarrass anybody here, but you know, I have a dear sister in Christ who is at home in the Lord. She died and went home to be with the Lord. Her name is Alida Horn. Do you know one of the most treasured times of my pastoral ministry has been when I and Sue went to visit with her in her home in her frail condition. And she related to me how she had been raised in the Great Karoo. I'm going to keep it English. Groot Karoo, huh? Okay. She'd been raised. Folks, she used to carry millisacks. Now, I'm a farmer's boy. I know a millisack is 25 kgs minimum. She used to plow fields. She used to drive the ox cart to the village to trade. She grew up. She was strong. Now, you will remember Alida, petite little lady. See, we're not looking for the Russian weightlifter of the Olympic team here. What we're looking for is just a strength. There is a strength. I remember my wife telling me this story before I met her, that she, before she was allowed to even learn to drive, had to learn how to change a tire on a car by herself. And there was much huffing and puffing as she tried to undo the nut bolts and everything. And I think a few tears were shed. I'm not sure. I can't do that. You will do this, said my father-in-law. And I'm so grateful she knew and now knows how to change a wheel. So, love, go to it. Now, that being said, folks, this is the godly character. There is a strength and there is a stability. The stability is seen in the fact that she laughs at the future. Now, we're in a country that really the future is not that certain. And the world, yeah, well, we don't know which way it's going at the moment, but this much we know. When our world crumbles, we can run to the rock that does not crumble, Jesus Christ. And that's what this woman does. This woman isn't perturbed about what's unfolding in the news. She's not perturbed about what is happening around the neighborhood. She is laughing at the future because her future is secure in the one who holds her in his hand. So, we've seen by way of elements in a godly character, a truthfulness, we've seen a prudence, we've seen a generosity, and now we've actually come to see something else. We've come to see a strength and a stability. But there is a fifth element, kind speech. Look at verse 26. Proverbs 31, 26. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. There are some tongues that you and I know, they are as sharp as a deadly blade, which slash and cut to pieces. But the Proverbs 31 woman has a tongue of healing. She knows how to build others up, not with flattery, for that would be lying. She knows how to build others up, but with wisdom. And what is wisdom? The beginning of wisdom is what? The fear of the Lord. A reverential awe of who God is, what he has done, is doing, and will yet do. And so because of that, every word she speaks is a lecture on kindness, dealing with others not as they deserve, but as they don't deserve. So, the first portrait that you and I have encountered as we maneuvered our way into Proverbs 31 is a portrait of a woman who displays godly character. Godly character in truthfulness, godly character in generosity, godly character in prudence, godly character in strength and stability, and godly character in kind speech. How about the second portrait? Second portrait, the excellent wife portrayed in her joyful labor. We literally get to see the excellent wife with her sleeves rolled up. And ladies, please remember, the Proverbs 31 woman didn't do all of this in one day. We have the testimony of what she did for being a purpose, for a pattern for you and I to follow. But this time we're going to see two elements of her joyful labor. We're going to see two elements. Verse 13, she was always joyful in her labor. Verse 13, she looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. See, this is a lady that never wants to be idle. She went looking for wool and for flax, and she works with her hands in delight. She went looking for what there was to do, and it was her joy to do it. Here's the thing. She never considered her work a drudgery. And I think one of the reasons it was never a drudgery was because she was always focused on her home. When it came to her family, they were clothed well. Look at this unfolding for us in Proverbs 31:19-24. She stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household, not just some, are clothed with scarlet. She makes covering for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. But look at this. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Folks, there is a place for the excellent wife to be working and contributing toward the family income. And when it comes to food, her focus is the same. She is about a joyous labor. It's family first. Proverbs 31, verses 14 through 16. She's like the merchant ships. She doesn't look like a ship, okay? Well, maybe. All right. But she brings her food from afar. That's what the picture is. She rises also while it is still night. Okay, I'll leave that to you. And gives her food to the household and portions to her maidens. She makes sure that they know what they're doing as well. She considers a field and buys it, and from her earnings she plants a vineyard. Now, to do this, to be joyful in labor, to portray this as being an excellent wife who is always joyful, looking for work, doing work, she has to be organized and diligent. And that's the key. You see, ladies, it isn't that you must now go off and learn how to sew. It's not that you must now go off and go and buy a spindle. I put a picture on the bulletin for you in case you wondered what that was like. So men, no, you don't have to go and do that. You don't have to go and buy a weaver's loom. The point is this, folks. Ladies, whatever skill you have, master it. And always do it for the good of your family. That's the portrait that is pictured here. She goes about her work joyously. She's good at what she does, and she masters it to make sure she's always getting better at it. So, in our tour through the art gallery of Proverbs 31, we've seen the patterns of an excellent wife, in which God encourages all the women to follow. Firstly, we've seen a portrait of a godly character, seen in trustworthiness, prudence, generosity, strength and dignity, and kind words. And then we've seen a second portrait of the excellent wife in her joyful labor, always focused on her family. But now we get to see the final portrait, one which I've already alluded to several times, but now which needs a little bit more focus. The third portrait, come with me to verse 27. We get to see the excellent wife portrayed in her devotion. Look at Proverbs 31, verse 27. She looks well to the ways of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. Okay, now I need to explain this a little bit more, because this is really, men, this is eye-opening for you and I. The phrase, looks well, that is a Hebrew phrase that is also used to describe the function of the ancient Israeli watchman who stood in the tower to watch over the wine press, to watch over the vineyards, to watch over the herds as they were in the area. It is the same word that was used to describe that valiant warrior who stood on the walls of the city. and watched for the heathen hordes as they tried to make entrance. See, here's the thing. If the watchman on the city wall or the watchman in the tower in the fields was negligent in his duty, did not recognize the threat as it came into the village or as it came into the city, then his life was required. It was an important job to be the protector to make sure the families of the community weren't overrun by barbarians. And God takes that same phrase and he holds up the woman who has a Christ-like character of a godliness and of a joyful labor and of a devotion to family. He holds her up in that same esteem. She looks well. She's that watchman on the tower. She's that watchman on the wall. You say, well, what's that all mean? Well, before I get there, the phrase looks well, it's written in a way in such, it's a work that never ceases. Did we get that? Looks well, never is a work that comes to an end. You don't put up your feet in this one, ladies, and men likewise. It was an important job. You see, the excellent wife is the one who attends to the nappy rash of the baby and the boyfriend trauma of the teenager and the girlfriend trauma of the teenager and the comfort and companionship of the husband, and it's ongoing. But here's the warning. If she, like the watchman, is distracted, well, if the watchman got distracted, no one else reported for duty. Folks, if the excellent wife gets distracted, no one's going to be reporting for duty. Now, I am by no means advocating that the wife has no place in the workplace. If the family needs her to be in the workplace for the good of the family, all well and good. But as I said last week, if her day job is going to negatively impact her night job, men, there is a problem. And husbands, if your family is in chaos, and can I just put in a rider here? We will deal with this when we get to Ephesians 5 and 6. The family is complete without children, yes? The family is complete when a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That's family. Children don't make a family, they complement a family. So with that being said, and without that out the way, let me say again, husbands, if your family is in chaos, then there may be many reasons. But one of the reasons you might want to consider is that your wife is distracted and there is no one else reporting for duty. Nobody's on guard. And so if the barbarians of unbelief, drugs, alcohol are sweeping through the family, it may well be that your wife can't function as the watchman. She may be too tired to watch well for her family. She may be too distracted, too dejected. Why? Because you're not the companion that you need to be. Men, you need to make it your job to take away the distractions so she can build relationships in the home. And ladies, here's a tip for you. If you've been with me in any premarital guidance, you will know that I've always been at great pains in the early part of our marriage guidance to point out to you, men aren't smart. Okay? It's an unfortunate truth. We are hopeless at building relationships because we do have a one-track mind. We do only focus on either being logic or we can be that red-blooded, hot Italian lover. We can't be both at the same time. You can. You've got us at a complete disadvantage. You can be logic and you can be emotional at the same time. For us, it's either logic or, yeah, emotion. Never the two shall meet in a man's mind. But with that being said, folks, here's a tip for you ladies. You know what you want to do? And I've said this to several who have gone through marital guidance with me. If you want to build a good relationship with your husband, make a list of 30 good things you can do for him. And then just do one a day for 30 days. And guess what? When you get to the end of 30 days, go back to doing number one. He won't get it. He'll think you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. And he will prosper and he will rise up and call you blessed. There's a tip, all for free, okay? But folks, Proverbs 31 verse 23 says, the husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. And if you were ever looking for a passage that affirmed the truth that is bandied about in society, behind every good man, there is an even better woman, there it is. He could go and sit in the gates, and by the way, he wasn't just whiling away the time. It was an important function. He's not watching the reruns with the boys on rugby, okay? He's actually doing something for the community. But here's the thing. Behind every good man, there is an even better woman. And the excellent wife, the excellent woman, is the one who is that Christ-like devoted servant, always portraying a godly character, always being joyful in labor, and a devotion to her family. You see, that's exactly how Jesus Christ conducted himself upon the earth. He portrayed a godly character in every respect. He fulfilled every law. He lived an absolutely sinless life. And remember, he was a man doing that. Yes, indwelt and empowered by God the Holy Spirit, but just as he could separate, he could choose to turn away from temptation, so can we. And he portrayed a godly character and he was joyful in his labor. When he was himself dog-tired, he didn't send away the 5,000 who came for some teaching. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. His disciples saw them as an inconvenience. And Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross to die in our place, he saw that as a joyful labor. The writer of Hebrews says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And what's more, he was absolutely devoted. Devoted to the point where he, as God eternal, set aside the glories of heaven, put on human skin to be our kinsman redeemer. Because only a related person can pay a debt that you cannot pay. And he became related to us. That he would be our kinsman redeemer and pay the price that we couldn't pay. The ruin of our sin. So he died in our stead, and he has broken the power of death and of sin, is risen for our justification, and comes again. You see, the excellent wife, the excellent woman, is the one who is that Christ-like devoted servant, portraying a godly character, a joyful labor, and a devotion to her family. The evil and self-focused world will look down on this with disdain, but God doesn't look down on this. In fact, he looks upon you, the excellent woman, as the aristocracy of servanthood. There is no higher. And husbands, men, you and I need to grasp this truth of God and make it our own, that he looks upon the woman who he has given you as a wonderful gift. He looks upon her as being that aristocracy of servanthood. And that's why the Proverbs 31 man gets it right. Look at Proverbs 31, verse 28 and 30. Her children, the Proverbs 31 children, rise up and bless her. Her husband also, as I said last week, he elbows aside the children and says, "Move over, I've got something to say." And he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all." Husbands, when did you say that to your wife? When did you remind her that charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, and I'm just thankful you have them as well, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Did you get that? Okay. The world is going to focus on beauty, but God's going to focus on, and He's going to praise the woman who is in awe of Him, portraying a godly character, a joyful labor, and a devotion to Himself as to herself as being devoted to the family and blessed. Her husband and her children are the benefits of it. Now, husbands, here's the thing. If you don't praise her, God will. He just has in His Word. And you need to make sure that you praise her for all to hear. Proclaim her to be the best of the best, and then greater than the rest. But you also need to know, how do you bless your wife? Or how do you bless the Lord? Because Scripture tells us we are to bless the Lord. How would we bring a blessing to the Lord when everything we have comes from Him? What are we going to give to Him that would be a blessing? Thanksgiving. And so, folks, we come to the Lord in prayer with thanksgiving, and the praise of our lips, the thanksgiving of our hearts, and yes, by His grace, participate in good works, for with such sacrifices He is well pleased. Men, you want to know how to bless your wife? Thank her and pray for her, because that's how you bless her. Our world is in desperate need of women like this. But here's the thing, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, God is my witness. We are so blessed as a church to not be lacking in Proverbs 31 women. I look around and I see many, and I'm thankful for the strength and godly character and joyful labor and devotion to family that they bring. Not just once in a while, but every day. Our world is in desperate need of women like this. And woman, you can follow the Proverbs 31 woman as an example. Don't try and do what she's done. Just follow her godly character, her joyful labor, and her devotion to the Lord and His and the family He has blessed her with. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for the time given us this morning to once again be reminded that, Lord, You have given us many gifts. You have brought to our lives the most precious gift that we could possibly, in fact, Your Scriptures declare we didn't even have a thought for this. But You have done abundantly beyond anything we could expect or think of or ask for by making a way for our sin to be forgiven. And You have given us the forgiveness of sin found in Jesus Christ, because there is no other name given among men under heaven by which we may be saved. But we want to thank You as well that You have given us so many gifts besides this, in addition to this. And for we who have been blessed by You to have been given a wife, Lord, we want to thank You for the wives You have blessed us with. And I want to thank You as well, Lord, for the young men that are in our church, that they would continue to lift up their eyes unto You and petition You for a godly woman. And I thank You for the way in which You are molding and making and conforming us into the image of Your precious Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as we do this, as You who have begun a good work in us continue to do it, You are raising up for Yourself another generation worthy of worshiping you in spirit and truth. But Lord, as I spent time with you in preparing for this, and I want to thank you publicly for this, thank you for the woman that you have blessed our church with. Thank you for the industrialists that they show. But thank you above all else for their godly character, their joyful labor, and for that continued devotion to you, to the families you've blessed them with, and to this church family. And so we have much to be thankful for as we go to the day. May we therefore be a people who do not grow weary in well-doing. And may we, with surrendered heart, be the encouragers in one another's lives that you've raised us up and intended us to be, for your glory, for your honor, and for the furtherance of your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.